This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
So Paul has had this tremendous longing to see them.
Yes.
He winds up the second chapter speaking about that, how much he longed to see them. He said they were torn away from them.
That's right.
Physically, so to speak. But not in heart. Not in his heart remained with them. And
them and his heart. I understand that. This is his work.
Yes. Yes.
It's like you're painting a picture and somebody spoils it all.
Yeah.
This is the thing he's laboring at for immortality. Right. And you'd want to see your work succeed, wouldn't
Amazing.
You? Knowing that the devil can wreck the whole thing.
That's right.
Wow. Unstoppable.
Amazing. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish we had this guy here today with us. We don't, but I wish we did. But I can guarantee you this. Mm. If he was here today, I don't think Paul would put up with a lot of the post-biblical traditions that had developed in Christianity. He wouldn't like it at all.
He
would not be happy with that whatsoever. And all the nonsense about two different gospels and Jesus preached one gospel and Paul preached the gospel. That nonsense. Yes. Paul wouldn't put up with that for a minute. Isn't that something?
It is.
Yeah. So, and I guess people imagine, well, if Paul was here today, he would come to our church, and he would. I don't know if he would be comfortable in many of the churches today.
Not so sure.
If he did come, he would have corrective words for us, I think.
As an apostle.
Yeah.
No, that's right. It's
you'd have to start, I guess, by explaining a lot of things. You'd have to explain to him about the word Trinity and what that means.
Right, of course.
That would be interesting.
Exactly right.
He never thought about that. No. And you'd have to explain to Paul about Jesus having two natures.
Right.
To talk to him about that and help him understand
being,
that.
Right. Him being man, but not, but not a man.
Not a man.
Paul, he also was eternally generated, which means he had a beginningless beginning.
So you'd have to explain that to Paul.
And shake his head.
Help him to understand these.
And say that his own prediction was right, that evil men would wax worse with deceiving and being deceived.
That's right. Chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. You know it's going to come. That's right. It has to happen. That's right.
Yes.
Verse 4. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know.
Yes.
Verse 5. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and our labor would be in vain.
That's
all right. Oh, my lambs. So, isn't this an interesting story? So he went on, apparently when he's in Athens, he's sending Timothy back to check on the folks.
And then he moved to Corinth.
Yeah, and on to Corinth from there.
Where they joined him with a good report, basically.
A good report,
that everything's
right.
wrong. And then he writes these letters.
Yeah.
But it is a struggle. But then anything worthwhile is a struggle, isn't it? If you're talking about gaining immortality, it's right that it would not just be a drop of the hat, snap your fingers affair. And that's what we're seeing here. Through much tribulation, we are destined to enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22.
I love it.
Always comes back.
Well, and you know, Anthony, we think in terms of enduring difficulties, hardship for other things. Many people for politics or reasons of political issues or political liberty or whatever it is. Some people will give their lives. But none of that compares to this issue of God's immortality program.
That's right. What about athletics?
That's right.
Look what people put their bodies through to get better muscles than anybody else.
That's right.
And it's tremendous.
Paul's exact example of 1 Corinthians 9.
Yeah.
Look at what people will do.
For a temporary crown. Temporal crown.
Yes, yes.
You're doing this for a living forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Not only living, but ruling and reigning and governing the world. Fixing the world when Satan is bound and cannot deceive the nation. Then you get to be the governors of the local town. Take charge of 10 cities, Jesus said.
Well, no wonder the devil is out to stop the Christian at the beginning.
Yes.
As the old saying is, nip it in the bud.
Oh,
well, his goal is to nip it in the bud when it comes to God's people. Because those are the people, those Christians coming into this understanding of the kingdom of God and the gospel of the kingdom and Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Those are the people who are going to correct and fix the world, as you say.
That's right.
And his plan is stop them before they get
that's
going.
That's right.
Stop the word before it gets going, because if the word begins to bring forth fruit in you, then it will bring forth fruit in others. And sure enough, the world will get fixed in the kingdom of God by people who are...
Isn't that fascinating? I mean, that is a mysterious thing. The devil knows that he has a short time.
Yes.
God has allowed a certain risk here in allowing the devil as the foil in his plan. I mean, all of that is very deep and mysterious in some ways, but actually quite reasonable. And Paul wants to make sure he has not failed.
Well, that's
the devil has prevailed.
That's right.
It's a struggle.
So his great love for those folks, and he sent back... he said, you shouldn't have caught off guard, because we told you.
We warned you.
There's going to be afflictions and difficulties. It just goes with the territory.
It goes with the territories, they say,
It reminds me of what Jesus said. He said, you know, when they've treated me this way, what are they going to do to you, my followers?
Don't be surprised.
You're going to have a hard time.
Don't be surprised.
The good news for us today is, for the most part, at least us in democracies and free lands, we can come to this message, enjoy it, and move forward with it, as you say, without physical abuse for the most part. That could happen.
Yes.
But we'd still get a lot of abuse.
And I'm grateful for this great land and that, you know, with all the problems we're currently going through.
I am too.
This right of free speech, which is absolutely astonishing.
Wonderful thing.
Not only that, the enormous advantage of technology we have. You know, we've got... I've got a Bible works there. Somebody told me it's the equivalent of 20,000 Bibles or something in context. It's billions of characters.
Yes, yes, yes.
All on that little laptop. So I can flick through 50 translations plus several in different languages.
Yes.
Our forefathers could not do that.
That's right.
So we have enormous gains in terms of technology that God has allowed.
Yeah. So shouldn't we be able to do well with
these
things?
Oh, yes, we must. We're
absolutely. Surely.
Knowledge shall increase. It does say that.
Absolutely.
Daniel.
And we're certainly no, as I was saying earlier, we're not smarter than other people, but we do have some extraordinary opportunities that have been given to us.
We should be able to leave the scene better than when we came to it.
I think so. That's right.
Come on, can we make progress?
Exactly.
I hope we haven't made it worse.
That's right.
Made it clearer.
So, so anyway, he does send back, and then in verse 6, we begin to get the report back to him that he received back from Timothy.
Yes.
He says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and afflictions, we've been comforted about you through your faith.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Positive.
Verse 8, for now we live, if you were standing fast in the Lord.
Yes.
Verse 9, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Ooh, isn't this nice?
It is wonderfully positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you stand firm. Mm-hmm. That's the parable of the sower, exactly, right? You only succeed if you get to the end. Some believe for a while, Luke 8:13, and fall away.
Absolutely.
It's not a once-saved, always-saved thing. It's not over till it's over, the end of the race.
And if we remove that conditional from all of Paul's writings, we have essentially changed his message.
Very much so.
And we've been very unfair to people. People need to know the whole picture
as
it really is.
That's exactly
and,
right.
If you, and effectively, what we've done, I think, through some of the post-biblical teachings, the once saved, always great saved thing needs to be looked at again carefully by people. There's too many conditionals.
Absolutely.
The if, if you will, the eon in Greek. You can't just wave all the way and pretend it doesn't exist. It's there.
No.
And we have to speak those things as Paul did.
That's right.
And
Romans 13:11 is a favorite of ours in this connection. You know, Paul says that it's already for the hour has come for you to awaken. The hour has come for you to awaken, because salvation is now nearer to us than when we first believed, not further away. We got saved, you know, and nothing would change that.
That's right.
No, nearer, the goal is nearer.
Right.
And then the other one, of course, where Paul says, if you remain within the kindness of God, you're doing good. Mm. If you don't, you too will be cut off.
Yes.
I mean, how clear does language have to be?
There it is, that if is, we just have to, there it is. We didn't write the Bible, we didn't put those in there, but they're there. And it's very unfair for us as ministers and others to say, well, you know, there is no if. Well, there is plenty of them. So we need to take that into account and be fair to the people we're speaking to and teaching a lot.
More exactly. How many people would go to the Olympic Games if you knew that everybody gets a gold medal as long as they show up at the beginning?
That's right.
They hear the click of the guns.
That's right.
They run 4 yards, fall apart, you know. Collapse.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. They all get gold medals anyway, that's right. So that's not a problem.
That's right.
We wouldn't do that.
That's not the picture we're getting in the scriptures.
No, no.
And it's not just a matter of how great a reward you will receive. The ifs do take on the tenor of that it's all at stake here. You do, you know, we come to this hope by way of faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Don't give up that faith Christ Jesus, because he's the key. He's why we're here.
Yes.
And
you don't squeeze into the kingdom.
That's right.
By default, it doesn't work that way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, no, it's very clear. Yeah. Again, we were not taught this clearly in evangelical circles.
Sure.
The whole thing had been watered down. I think that's the tragedy. Mm-hmm. Once you water it down, it becomes less than critically important.
Yes.
Well, who cares?
Yes.
Know?
Yes.
That doesn't matter anymore.
Well, it's. I think. I'm so happy, and I rejoice every day at the grace of God which is toward us.
Yes.
I know that the enemy cannot, of his choice, separate it from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus.
Provided we do our part.
But we, indeed, must not abandon our faith in Christ. That's what brought us to this hope.
Oh, yes.
And if you abandon your faith in him, then we're going to miss it. And it does no good to say, well, you can't do that. You can't abandon your faith in him. Yeah. Well, then why? Paul was a madman then, because he thought everybody could. Yeah. He was going around writing about if you hang on to your faith.
Right.
He was going about saying if you hold that faith and hold to the head, which is Christ, then all is well. Nobody can take you away from that. Nobody can take
that. It's very tough. The bar is set very high, because in the parable in which Jesus issues rewards, the person who did nothing with his talent doesn't squeeze in. He's not there.
He's just not
that,
there.
I hear that preached wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
No, it's weeping and gnashing, casting outside of the kingdom banquet if you've done nothing with your talent. You say, well, I'm saved, so that's fine. No, you have to work and use the talents that God gave you.
That's right.
To qualify for the kingdom of God.
And that is a biblical point of view. And it's correct.
It is.
So there it is.
Right.
We just
that's right.
And it, as I say, it's very unfair to people to teach otherwise.
Oh yes,
it really is.
Yeah, yes.
Verse 11. Now may our God and Father Himself, and our Lord Jesus, direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
Yes.
Wow.
The parousia again.
Yeah.
Second,
I like that.
It's all focused on the second coming. Not on the moment of death, going to heaven or hell at death. That's just wrong.
He's going to talk about that in the fifth chapter.
Absolutely.
Isn't he?
He's going to unpack it. I love that Our Lord thing there.
Oh, is that nice, yes.
People generally don't know that you cannot say Our Yahweh. It doesn't work in language. Never my Yahweh, never Our Yahweh. So when you're saying Our Lord, you always mean Adonai, my Lord, Our Lord King David, my Lord Jesus, once in Philippians, Our Lord Jesus Messiah. There's no confusion there. People are not confused as between God and Jesus. And if occasionally it's ambiguous, who cares? Because God and Jesus are working in concert anyway.
Well, and notice, Anthony, in verse 11 here, how that Paul is picking up on the active role of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Because he's saying, may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. So Jesus Christ is involved in directing the way of Paul to those Thessalonians. So that's his desire. That's what he's praying.
It's a good point. That's unusual, but it's a very, very special point. Mm-hmm. He's praying that Jesus would do it, God would do it. They work together.
And and it's fair then to say, after it's over, God did it? Or it's fair to say Jesus did it? Or it's fair to say
why
God did it through Jesus?
However you want to put it. Just don't fuss over it or argue about it.
That's right.
Perfectly clear. Agent operates for his sponsor. That's it.
And if the peoples of the New Testament knew anything, they knew that.
Yes.
They know when Paul is saying that God has brought us salvation, they knew that that meant through Jesus. Or if you said, you know, Jesus has brought us salvation, they knew that that meant God had caused him to be their Savior.
That's right.
If we knew anything, we knew those things.
It's not a problem. Some people try to insert, you know, the Yahweh name into the New Testament.
No.
That was quite unnecessary. The apostles don't do it. Mm-hmm. The Lord is very often the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Our Lord is invariably Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Lord without the article, just Kyrios, is very often just Yahweh. Because you can't have my Yahweh or your Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And occasionally there's an ambiguity. We'll find relax.
Yeah. When you find ambiguity, preserve the ambiguity. You know, say, well, okay, this could be either
I and the Father are one anyway, so let's not fuss about it.
Sure.
That's one thing.
So Paul, as he's just been, you can sense his passion in his care and love for those people. It's been evident from the beginning all the way through to this.
Very genuine.
His heart's desire is that God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus would direct his way to them. And he could see them in the flesh. He desires that with all his heart. I love that.
It is. It's very beautiful. Well, it's very touching. I think also we mustn't idealize the apostles as though they are almost superhuman. You know, Paul got up in the morning just as we do.
Absolutely.
Got dressed.
Absolutely.
He was tired. Mm. He ate food. Now, he did have apostolic powers and miracles. Mm-hmm. I fully see that.
Sure.
But they are human beings.
Absolutely.
God is fully aware of the limitations of human beings, but he uses them. Why not? He created them anyway.
Absolutely.
He could use those talents.
Yeah.
It's very real, isn't it?
It is.
It's not pious in the pseudo sense.
That's right.
Very real.
Well, it's like he writes, we noticed to some of the folks one time saying, you know, we want to hear of your affairs. We want to know what's going on.
What's going with you?
Well, in his apostolic abilities, which were wonderful, he didn't just intuitively know. He didn't wake up in the morning and know immediately how it was going. He wanted to hear from those folks and how it was going
very
with
real.
Them and to let them know how he was doing.
Yes.
So it wasn't sort of a world of just other world of spirit, so to speak, where that they knew all things, and
that's right.
They were true human beings, laboring in these matters, and when they were hit, struck, their bodies suffered, and when their minds suffered, they went through fears, as did our Lord Jesus, for goodness sake.
It's interesting how God does use his stars. I mean, you consider what Luke, you know, who wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else.
Yes.
I don't think he realized the effect he was having. Mm-hmm. Look at the translations, the millions upon millions of readers who have taken his part. And this is one individual.
Yeah.
Does that make him, does that mean that God is a respecter of persons? Absolutely not. He's not a respecter, but every person has talents. Every person is equal before God.
Absolutely.
But it's remarkable that David's name is mentioned, I think, more times than Jesus. I mean, almost. It's incredible. That David was an extraordinarily prominent figure.
Sure.
God can do that, I say.
Yes.
He wants to.
Sure.
He's the one who chooses how he runs his show.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But it is extraordinary. There are a lot of people who've lived marvelous lives, who've been heroic, who are completely forgotten.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Faces.
We don't know their names at all.
We don't know their names.
That's right. But we know they were there.
They were there. And they did well or badly, but often very well.
Yes.
And their stories will be, I think, celebrated at one point.
And, you know, and I said earlier in some of our discussions, I really do want to be a part of this great future kingdom of God when it is fully established and all this. I want to be a part of that because I want to meet some of those people we don't know. That people didn't make it into the Bible, so to speak, but they were there.
They were there.
And many people who were so courageous. And it's going to be good.
Those stories will be dug out.
That I want to be a part of. I want to know those people.
And not have the threat of death hanging over our
heads. Yes, yes.
That's something.
Well,
no rush, you know. Well, I'm living forever anyway, so we can take this right. in our stride.
Yes, that's right.
And see what comes.
It'll be wonderful indeed.
It's surprising that people don't rush to church or Bible teaching to hear about immortality, isn't it? They'll do anything to go to make a few more bucks.
Sure.
To extend their life by a few years, you know, take some magic pill or whatever. Anything.
Yes.
But the real issue is, are you going to live forever?
And I think Jesus would say that all of that short-sightedness, that is short-sightedness on the part of human beings. So. Because, look, I mean, whatever it is you like about life that is good, decent, and healthy,
yes, of course,
that's what we're going for. I mean, that with Jesus as ruler and all of the...
Yes.
I want a part of that. I want to be a part of that. That's why I'm here.
Why would you
not? I want to be a part of that program.
Why would you not?
Yeah. So it's worth.
Oh, yes.
It's worth everything. Yeah, I think that's it was to Paul.
Right.
To Paul, it's worth everything. Just to do. And
just
not only
there, right.
for him personally to be a part of it, but for him to help others, like the Thessalonians, to be a part of this program as well.
And of course, he lost his head to Rome.
Yeah, yeah.
He's only a few years away from being beheaded here.
Yeah.
So much did Satan want to get rid of him.
He paid the ultimate price.
He did.
The price of his life.
Didn't die. He wasn't that old.
Didn't.
No, when he died, probably.
Yeah. Wow.
It's an amazing story.
I love it a lot.
Yeah.